Okay, so I'll point out again, the original motion was 11, which included 8 members of the board and 3 non-members elected by the board from among interested listeners. After the P&G motion, if you just took off the 3, you'd have 8 that would not comply with the P&G guidelines. We said 7, 9, or 11. This motion says 9. If you don't like 9, just make an amendment to 11 or 7. In the motion, it says, shall carry out a search for former director under the guidelines and timeline established by the P&G.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
I suggested that when we
make a substitute motion that we see what the original P&B motion is and follow that. We have to vote on whether it's going to be 7-9.
Yes,
on the substitute motion. So we see the original motion and we have to vote on whether it's going to be 7-9 or 11.
Can we vote on that?
We have to vote on it, on whether or not we want to go look for the original motion.
I think we're supposed to look for the number of members portion, correct?
That would be a good place to start.
Minimum of 7, maximum 11.
There you go.
Okay, so I'll second the motion that we vote on the number. I propose to amend, a friendly amendment, if Michael will accept it, to amend the number from 9 to 11. And so if you'll accept that as friendly, then that's my motion.
Is there
11? 11, yeah.
There's an amendment to the Lafferty motion?
No. I second it.
Okay.
Yes.
We can't be this freaking stupid. I seconded his motion. Did I not?
Yeah, I propose an amendment to that motion.
There's an amendment to the motion.
But my motion is on the floor. My motion is on the floor. No one said that.
Everybody else has to stop talking and let the chair chair.
Thank you. Mr. Novick has a motion on the floor, which was seconded by Mr. Lafferty. And so that has precedence at this moment.
I have a substitute.
And there is has a amendment that
proposed
has
amendment.
I proposed amendment.
I made a substitute.
Wait to be called on.
Ms. Kaufman, when I asked if that was a motion, you said it was a motion. You did not say it was a substitute motion, and I did not hear a second on that. So we're going to go back to this. Thank you. That is my ruling.
No.
You seconded it.
I did.
I asked that was a substitute motion.
My substitute motion is we see the original PNB to see what's in there. This has, why are we voting on a new motion? Why are we following
what
the old other
like,
motion?
It's part of the original
Let's vote on the motion. I call the question on it.
I'm saying that we use the point of order. Mr. Lafferty, please. I have called the question. Right. I am trying to take a vote.
You know, I'm objecting to the calling of the question. The only proper business now before us is for the chair to now see how we vote on whether we're going to call the question or not.
Right.
If the question is not called, we'll have all sorts of other discussion. If it is called, we'll go to a vote.
Those in favor of calling the question, please raise points of parliamentary procedure.
Any guys,
you have not been addressed, please order. Thank you. It's going on and on and on. I have made numerous requests. I'm not sure at what point the sound vibration needs to be blocked. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll try to make this brief. I think the purpose of Ms. Kaufman's motion, but on a larger level, Robert's Rules of Order says that all this procedural stuff is supposed to take a second place towards the body having a true understanding of the matters upon which they are deciding. I believe what she's trying to accomplish and what everyone's arguing about is just what is the language in the PNB motion? If Mr. Secretary has that language, I think we might end a lot of this contention simply by allowing him to read it once through.
We are trying to follow
it. And then the substitutes and the amendments and how many members then look into this.
Thank you for your point of order.
Thank you.
We vote on calling the question. Those in favor of calling the question, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 in favor of calling the question. Those opposed. 1 abstention. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay. If you are in favor, please raise your hand.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Yes? No? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, no. Abstention? 1?
In the middle paragraph, strike the word after, quote-unquote, unpaid staff members, in parentheses, in this manner, and they also include non-LSD members. Okay. So where an LSD creates a third subcommittee, the LSD shall specify in the motion which it creates, which is of the procedure it intends to delegate. Such a subcommittee shall include a minimum of 7 and a maximum of 11 members consisting of LSD members, including paid and unpaid staff members, and they also include non-LSD members and non-LSD staff members. And email addresses and phone numbers shall be sent to the national office.
How much? How many sections am I supposed to Can I read the numbered items rather than the preamble?
Yes, please, just the power.
Where an LSD creates a search subcommittee, the LSD shall specify in the motion which creates it which of the procedures it intends to delegate. Such a subcommittee shall include a minimum of 7 and a maximum of 11 members consisting of LSD members, including paid and unpaid staff members. It may also include non-LSD listening.
But
I'm reading the old one.
You pass the motion after you read it, then you don't ever read it.
I'm reading the old one. That's the update.
It'll be clear. Yes.
Names, email addresses, and phone numbers of all subcommittee members shall be sent to the national office. And there's no objection to each of these passages in the law. 2, the PMD personnel committee shall provide a copy of the job description, candidate evaluation criteria, and, for non-LSD members of a created subcommittee, a confidentiality agreement to be executed by the subcommittee's second meeting. Number 3, the LSD or subcommittee shall arrange through the national office for publication of an ad in venues reaching diverse communities per FCC and EEO guidelines, and the ad shall be placed within 7 days of the request. Ad budget shall be set by the GM and the LSD. In addition, an ad shall be posted at the station's premises on its website and airwaves, and in an e-newsletter or other publication. Application period shall be 30 to 45 days, and applicants shall be submitted to a central location in the national office and then distributed in their entirety by email to the LSD or subcommittee and GM. Number 4,
Stewart.
Well, she certainly wanted to hear that.
Yeah.
The LSB or the subcommittee shall create a timeline not to exceed 6 months to complete its work, including meetings, rankings, interviews, and reports at each LSB meeting. The timeline shall include a meeting at which the subcommittee shall receive training from the national office on laws and rules concerning the hiring process. The LSB or subcommittee may or may not arrange a meeting of the qualified candidate finalists with the paid and unpaid staff. Number five, all LSB or subcommittee meetings regarding the hiring process shall be noticed to the public and held according to the open meeting provisions of the Pacifica bylaws. Number six, to assure equal treatment of all candidates, each interview round shall be conducted by the same method, that is, phone, in person, etc. Number seven, the LSB or subcommittee shall formulate a list of standard interview questions for all candidates. Number eight, the LSB or subcommittee shall decide on its pool, parentheses 3 to 5, and ranking of recommended candidates using single transferable voting, with LSB or subcommittee members strongly encouraged to write a brief explanation of their votes. Number nine, if, as the 6 month mark of the subcommittee existence approaches, it appears that the subcommittee will not complete its work, the LSB may reaffirm the subcommittee and extend its term or reconstitute using the same process articulated in number one above. Number 10, in the case of a search subcommittee, it shall write a final public report explaining the process it went through in its search and recommendation, and shall also submit a confidential appendix to the LSB containing the names and rankings of its recommended pool members, parentheses 3 to 5, along with any explanations written by subcommittee members of their votes. Number 11, if no subcommittee is created, the LSB shall prepare a public report as described above and a confidential appendix to the GM containing the names and rankings of its recommended pool members, parentheses 3 to 5, along with any explanations written by LSB members of their votes. Number 12, if the selection is made by a subcommittee, the LSB shall, in executive session, discuss and vote on whether to accept the candidate pool and rankings as presented by the subcommittee, or may revisit the pool of qualified candidates or review the process. Number 13. As per Article 7, Section 3, of the Pacifica bylaws, the general manager shall make the final decision regarding which individual from the pool shall be offered the position. That decision shall be made and reported to the LSB within a month of receipt of the LSB's recommendation. And that is all the numbered sections of the motion. And this was the original motion. This wasn't the motion that changed the stuff.
We can go back. What do you want to talk about? What was stricken?
Which part was stricken?
Well, what's stricken was the adding of non-members
to
the LSB.
That part was stricken.
That's their guy. Did you have the minutes? Are you waiting for the minutes of the meeting when it happened? Or the? I might have an email. I might have forwarded this to the board.
Yeah.
I just have to go back. What's the date again? July 28th?
I got a July 25th.
Okay, well, I might have sent a July 25th email to the board.
Point of order. Very basic.
Oh, this one. I think I forwarded this to
point
the board.
Point of order?
Yes. The motion has now been satisfied. It was read.
Right.
We now go to the main motion.
No, we go to John Wenger's amendment.
I have a question.
The point of information.
Or John Wenger's amendment. Yeah.
I have Dr. Wenger?
He stepped out for a moment.
You are, your motion.
I have a question.
Motion,
please. Point of order.
Yeah,
point of information.
Yeah, I move to amend the size of the committee to 11.
11.
There's a motion to amend to 15.
We just heard the PMB motion. Then what is this? What is this?
The new one. This is a different motion.
He didn't throw that out.
Your question was answered. Now you're giving opinion.
No, I'm
clarifying.
To answer your question, the PNB motion
directly the LSB and how to constitute a committee. The LSB has to constitute the committee. This is the motion to constitute the committee and hold the election for the members of the committee under the guidance of the PNB motion. That's all it ever was.
You want to point of order?
Point of information. Follow-up point of information.
Point of order. Thank you. Am I missing something here, or did what he just read was not, in fact, from the minutes taking out the portion involving the public? Isn't that what the confusion is going on with what date it is? To read the prior motion...
Maybe the motion was
to read what the PNB had directed in terms of changing the structure of this. And what I just heard read was the original motion. Am I incorrect in that?
Yes, you're incorrect.
No.
The original, excuse me, the motion was to read the PNB guidelines. The PNB guidelines were passed on March 22nd. They were amended in July to take out the three or four words
right.
that then we can have.
And that is the point of what her motion was.
No.
Her motion wasn't clear. We followed her motion.
Chair.
Let me just say that.
Dr. Wenger, are you giving a comment or you have a point of information? Because Dr. Wenger has the floor.
No, cool.
Dr. Wenger.
I will finish. My understanding of the point is that I don't believe what was read was what the member was asking for, which was the PNB amending the language of that. That is what we're all arguing about, the amendment to the language.
No.
Without reading that, that doesn't sound as far as the
motion.
The point was that the
Just
a quick comment. When I walked out of the room, I heard John reading the initial motion before it was amended. Brenda had attempted to read from her phone, and there was some confusion as to what part was being redacted, which part wasn't. I think in order to fulfill the motion, it's my opinion that John needs to read the July part where the amendment is, and then that motion will have been completed, and then it will become time for me to make my amendment, which is to basically increase the size of the committee to 11 to allow for it more inclusion.
Point of information.
And then I have my hand up, but I will let Lafferty go, but I have a point of information.
Is there anybody honestly in the room, who doesn't know that the PNB struck from our earlier motion the right to have non-LSB members on the search committee? Is there anybody in the room who will honestly look me in the eye and say they don't already know that?
Look, there are two people.
You don't know that?
No.
No, you honestly don't know that?
That's my point of view. Okay,
Gary, the secretary will...
He doesn't know.
Thank you, Mr. Lafferty. The secretary has found point of information to the document. Allow the secretary to read the document.
Can you wait till you read it?
She can never wait for anybody else to do anything
else.
This is from an email I sent to the GPA LSD on Thursday, July 27th. And, on Thursday, July 25th, 2013, the PNB voted 10-8 to limit PNB search committee to LSB members. And there's two paragraphs, and
you probably...
Brendan, you just read them. Do you want to hear them again?
I
found it in the actual minutes on the PNB.
All right. And does anybody need to hear again for clarity what was changed? Because I can read it.
Please do.
The PNB committee moves that the PNB shall approve amending the PNB PNB Search Committee motion approved March 22, 2012 as follows. In the below paragraph, strike the words after unpaid staff members, and they also include, non-LSB members and non-LSB staff members. So that sentence is taken out. This is what revised final language of their motion will be. When LSB creates a subcommittee, the LSB shall specify in the motion which creates it which of the procedures it intends to delegate. Such a subcommittee shall include a minimum of 7 and a maximum of 11 members consisting of LSB members
I think this was the agenda, and it actually wasn't amended yet.
You know what? I can read it.
Thank you.
So 11 members consisting of LSV members, including paid and unpaid staff members. It struck and may also include non-LSV listener members and non-LSV staff members.
That's what it struck.
And then continues, name and email addresses and phone numbers shall be sent to an Okay, so that's the only thing that was struck in that entire thing. It did not specify how many people Michael had risen, had created a motion in order to specify what we're going to be doing before this.
So now, Dr. Langer, now that that's been clarified,
point of information, my hand is still up. Ted, I've had my hand up. I let Lafferty go before.
Okay, you're talking right now. I'm trying to address you in front of me.
Okay. You're missing my point. Because what the first, and we were just handed this before the meeting. It appears that Nova's motion does, in the first paragraph, mandate what we should vote on as the amount on the committee.
Yes.
The second two paragraphs does not relate to the number, the size of the committee. It has to do with the other stuff. That's why we need to consider the whole motion. It's not about the
Is that a comment or a question for a point of information?
Yes. What is the other two paragraphs about? That's not about the dollar.
Yes, to answer your question, in the language you just heard, if you would stay in the room to listen, it said that the LSB shall mandate the creation of a committee and assign it responsibilities. That's what this motion does. It delegates the size of the committee and it assigns it the responsibilities that we're delegating to the committee. That's what the other two paragraphs are.
Specify that there should be 11 members of this committee, and the motion and furthermore the rationale is just to make it a little more inclusive, open it up for inclusion.
Okay, so there's a motion on the floor, substitute motion. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay.
The point of procedure is that when people yell out call the questions, that does not mean the question has been called. They have to be acknowledged and recognized like everyone else, because there's a tendency to think that if I shout call the question, and then that just means it's like thank you. This harkens back to being the co-chair of so many, doing this search committee business so many times so far in the last 6 years. In prior search committees, before the P&B motion and all of this, as part of the compositional structure, we had that the internal, whoever the members were of the committee, that the ratios between staff and listener member reps would be maintained as they are on the local board, i.e. it's 3/4 listener, 1/4 staff, that those ratios be maintained on search committees as well, so you don't end up, say, with all 6 staff members being on a personnel search committee selecting who they're going to work for. So if I need to make it as an amendment, it's something that we observe in 3 search committees in a row, and there are, when we dig way back, we will find motions that have been passed on this subject matter. If I need to introduce it as a new motion, I will, but I do believe that those ratios are to be maintained. Part of that goes back into interested board directors versus non-interested board directors under California Corporations Code. So as a board, you can't go over a certain level. I think we should maintain those levels within the committee.
Are you amending?
I will amend it that whatever the final number is, 9-11, that the ratio of staff representatives and listener representatives be maintained at the same level that they are on the board itself, which is 75% listener reps to 25% staff reps.
So it's 3-1 ratio,
and then we maintain that within our collection.
Okay, is there a second for...
Yes,
okay, thank you. Can we vote on that amendment?
Yes.
Those in favor of this piece's amendment,
I'll point out that because it's an odd number, you can't maintain that ratio.
Well, it's closely
impossible. How about we say that?
So you can maintain.
I understand what he's saying. Yeah.
Okay, here we go. As a math teacher, okay, for 75%, that's 75 and 25. If you do 80-30, that's.
Those in favor of withdrawing Ms. Reese's motion, say aye.
Those in favor of withdrawing Ms. Reese's amendment, please raise your hand. Those in favor of withdrawing it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Yes, those opposed to withdrawing it. 1, 2, 1 abstention. Okay, motion carries. The motion is with the amended motion is withdrawn. Dr. Wenger, your motion is on the floor. Amendment is on the floor. Those in favor of Dr. Wenger's amendment.
Which is 11?
To have a teacher's committee of 11 people from our board, please raise your hand. It's 11. Would you like to make an amendment?
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, yes. All of those opposed? John, are you voting? Okay. All of those opposed? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten, opposed? Okay, the motion fails. Any abstentions? The motion fails.
So the amendment fails.
All right, we have another. Now we go back to Michael. No, we go back to her. Summer's motion. Okay, so then let me clarify doing the math in my head. I think it's going to be closest to that ratio of 7 listener reps and 2 staff reps if we're going with the 9 as the number. So that would be my motion as that.
Okay, so if I could, so there's an amendment to Michael's motion to have three staff, seven listeners. I'm sorry, seven, two. I apologize, I didn't mean to change that. Is there any objection to amending Mr. Novick's motion to having two staff and seven listener members on the committee? Is there any objection?
Wow. Great. Now we need to act. Great amendment. Okay. Now let's pass that motion. Okay. All those in favor of the program director's committee motion, please raise your hand. All those in favor? In favor of having.
Are there any objections to the motion?
Motion carried. Seeing none?
Motion carried.
Okay. Woo! Consensus.
Every once in a while.
Okay. Now, we proceed. Okay. So, for the secretary.
Let's have some sense of where we're going. I mean, if a meeting is billed as being from 1 to 4, people may comment. And I don't think it's fair to say a meeting is from 1 to 4, and then for reasons that you can...
Understood.
You can categorize any way you want, decide the meeting can go on indefinitely.
So moved. Let's get this done.
Okay, you want to extend it?
Yes.
For how long?
Sure. We'll get indefinitely.
We have 30. We have completed the first part A. We've got 30 minutes for this item, so it should not take more than 30 minutes. Less than 30 minutes. We've completed part A.
I agree with Lauren. Until we get it done, so 4 o'clock
it
needs to be.
It is 4 o'clock.
That's my point.
That's what Chip was saying. Can I entertain until 4:30?
Until we get it done.
I move to extend until we complete the STD voting process on this.
Point of information: are we canceling the closed session at all?
We haven't. No, that hasn't been canceled. That wasn't part of the agenda. I mean, canceled the. Like, we just haven't gotten to that point, but still on this other part.
Well, I mean, because everything affects everything else. So.
Right. So there's a motion on the floor right now to extend time, or to extend until we finish, and there's been a second. So can we take a vote to extend until we finish item number 10? Because we are at time. Is there those in favor of extending until we finish the program director search committee lesson? Please raise your hand. Those in favor? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 in favor. All opposed? None. Abstention? 1, 2, 3, 4 abstentions. Okay, motion carried. We will continue with our program director search committee. Mr. Holmes.
Yes, in the interest of time, can they pass out the ballots, please?
Yes. Can we?
Are we going to have candidates today?
Point
last
of order.
Time we passed out ballots. Yeah. Yeah. And we have public comment. Last time we passed out ballots.
Go ahead.
There was a huge.
Yes.
If I may, point of order.
The ballots shouldn't be distributed until the candidates have made their statements. Public comment has heard all of the electioneering activities.
And then they need to be two separate
elections, right? One for staff. One for listeners, so we don't have a repeat of prior litigation over that matter.
Right.
Thank you.
Chair.
We need to extend until this was completed.
It might.
Chair.
Okay.
The next item on the agenda is for the secretary to read the names of the nominees.
I have a motion to cut down the nominee statement to 30 seconds because there's no need to really.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second. No.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'm second.
Okay. Are there any objections? Seeing none, we will move on. That way, our item number 10C, we will make that to 30 seconds for the nominees.
I have information.
Yes.
What about the
candidates that
aren't here? What we've done in the past, especially for PMB committee nominations, for people who weren't here, you can still vote for them. You just don't hear their statement.
Right.
So that's what's been done before. I suggest we do this again and stop wasting time.
Okay.
Point of information has never happened on.
That point of information is in the form of a question.
Point of information.
Thank you.
This chair does not have to recognize. They can hear what the point of information is, but you don't have to address it if you feel it's not warranted.
Can we move on to the secretary reading the nomination?
The nominees are Chuck Anderson, Lydia Brisson, Antony Antrim, Rodrigo Argueta, Fred Blair, Chris Condon, John Crumshaw, Ariana Gladney, Tej Graywall, Michael Novick, Steve Pride, Lawrence Reyes, and John Wenger.
I also recommend, if there's no objection from the body, that for those people that are absent, someone else could advocate for them. Just one person, 30 seconds.
That's been done before.
Okay, if there's no objection, we will find an advocate.
Point of personal privilege.
Yes, sir.
May I please ask, I have a recording appointment at a distant city. I have to leave now, but I would very much appreciate just saying my 30 seconds.
Can we start there?
Would that be all right?
Yeah. Good. Please, thank you.
I just want to say that I feel that it's a very important process in selecting the PD search, and I think this board is ready to move into making a final selection, and I would like to be part of that process. So I would very much appreciate your vote for me as a staff representative. Thank you.
Thank you. If there's no objection, we'll go in alphabetical order by last name. Mr. Anderson, can you please give your 30-second statement?
Hi, I'm Elizabeth. Over on this, and I want to be on the committee because I'm really dissatisfied with what's being produced, the product of our radio station. And I am also extremely dissatisfied with the work of Alan Minsky, who is a little Hitler in his decision of what should and should not be on our show, when it should be more democratic. And there should be a
Okay, thank you. Lydia?
Yes, candidate. I have served on national and local search committees. Under, at both times, we had professional advice from HR. When we had HR, which we don't have full-time HR right now in Quinnipiac. And so, you know, I came to learn a great deal professionally as well. I have been involved in hiring. And so I asked that for your vote, and I am experienced, and I've been chair of the national, on the national board. I have served as chair of the personnel committee.
Thank you. Is there an advocate for Ankeny for 30 seconds?
Okay, so I think Ankeny is a reasonable and measured person in her decision making, and that she would probably do her best to apply HR principles and standard hiring practices to her decision making, and she's experienced as a producer, of course, at the station, so we'll probably have some insight into the working needs of the actual programmers and producers and what they would be looking for in a PD. So I think she's probably bringing some valuable skills to that and an objective quality to her personality and judgment.
Thank you. She's a staff member.
And she is a staff member. That's correct.
Thank you. Is there an advocate for Abigail?
Well, I'd like to advocate for Rodrigo. He has a lot of experience. He's a hard worker as a programmer. He has a really compassionate overview of what the station needs in terms of a permanent program director. He's been on the PMB. He's been on committees here. And I think he'll make a great staff representative
thank you. Our next candidate is
Could I add a comment? I'd like to support him because of his Spanish language strength.
Thank you,
Ron.
Good point.
Are we doing just staff? Or
yes.
We're doing staff and lizard. I have the same time.
Yes, we are.
Okay, well, I served last year on the Program Director Search Committee, so I know what the process is. Thoroughly. I think I did a good job on that committee. That's personal. The main criteria I'm concerned about is selecting a person that will help the station most. I think that's what it's not a personality race. We're trying to find somebody who can help the station develop and develop programming. And that's the only criteria for our selection process, not other extremes issues. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Blair. Is there an advocate for Chris Hobbit?
Well, I just think everybody needs to have somebody speak on their behalf. Chris was away from the board for a long time, and I know he can be very passionate about things and certainly has some definite ideas about what's needed in a program director, and I think he would probably put hard work into doing that because he cares about that particular aspect of his operation.
Thank you. And he's a listener.
He's a listener, right.
Diane. Commissioner, and I would like to be on the program director search committee because I feel that we need a program director who's going to be diverse in program. We need a program that's going to really be dynamic and, you know, energize youth and get them to want to create changes within, you know, colleges. And so I feel like me being on there would give it a certain level of diversity that it doesn't have. Thank you.
My next.
Okay. Two things. Number one, I'm a teacher at LAUSD, so I'm an advocate for the youth. Also to get involved into radio, so I want to make sure that our programming can support the youth, and in particular, to kind of be able to bring in a program director who can make it in on a Saturday for the Saturday programmers when they split programming, and there's African programmers on Saturday, to make sure that evaluation processes are completed. I am an advocate for that. My time is up. Mr.
Lovett. I served on the committee last year. I think, conscientiously, I served previously as a listener, not on board, on the new search committee. I think responsibly and seriously, I think that we need definitely to have a permanent program director who is accountable to the board, to the listeners, for improving quality and building the audience of the station, particularly in the growing demographics of this listening region and attracting younger listeners who can sustain the station for the future.
Thank you very much. Mr. Bryce.
Well, first of all, I'm unpaid staff, so I kind of, I was offended by the whole staff versus research thing. That just means I spend about 20, 30 more hours per week than a normal volunteer. But I'm still a listener, so that's kind of offensive. One of the things I think I'm bringing to the table is I've been doing my show for nearly 18 years on KBFK. I've been in radio for nearly 40 years. My BA is in radio journalism. I have a lot of insight into what a good program director does and what he does not do. We do not currently have a good program director. From a technical and quality standpoint, he is lacking. So it's more than just picking the guy that has the politics you like. That's a good plus. But it's also picking someone who knows what he's doing. I think we're bringing to the table. Thanks.
Thank you. Mr. Lawrence, and then Dr. Winger, and you.
Well, administratively, I help people look for work. I'm an employment specialist for the Department of Mental Health and a community worker, so I have to post in the community. I run across diverse people from people with MBAs looking for work or returning back into the community that have a mental health issue. I analyze resumes very well. I look at a lot of resumes, and I help people develop resumes. So I've been a listener for a long time. I've been on committees. I have experience, and I also communicate very well with HR departments in the community. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Langer.
I was on the PD search committee, and before that, the GM search committee. My psychology, my degree is a PhD in psychology, so I have technical training in these kinds of issues about metrics and how you do statistics and how you do evaluations. Beyond that, I think I've shown on my membership on this board that I'm a free thinker, and that although I'm associated with a faction, I do get compliments from people in the other factions from time to time because I do think outside the box, and I do think strategically for the good of the state. And along with that, I get along with people, and that's an important asset on this committee. So please give me your vote.
Thank you. We will proceed with our next item. Public comment, 7.5 minutes, please.
respond to the nomination statement? It is on the agenda, just to let you know, we're not telling you what to say. It does say comments on TV series elections and nominees on the agenda.
That's right. My comment happens to be about the fact that when you have an LC meeting and you don't have a quorum, do the people who don't show up have any responsibility or anything enforcing them or encouraging them so those things don't keep happening as often as they do, so that they don't need to address that issue? Because I don't care where it comes from, but it needs to be happening. I don't come that often, and I'd like to see it happen twice, and I don't think it's right. And the other thing is that there's another announcement that I didn't get to make, but there's an anti-war rally on the 29th, and then 2 o'clock. And it's called The Last Stand LA. They had one in Hollywood last Sunday, in case anybody's interested. It's not a KPFA event. It's a whole different crowd, which is important to sometimes see somebody else. And tomorrow's the Equinox at 4:44 p.m.
Thank you. Okay.
All I can say is I hope people will vote for days of anticipated performance and job, not on a factional basis, and not even on a narrow political basis. We want people who are open to all points of view, regardless of the point of view that you or the proposed director has. So, free speech, fairness, confidence, etc.
Thank you,
sir. Any more? I don't know what kind of radio you're dealing with. You don't have a news department, you don't have programs. You don't accept people to support JPSK. It's funny. It's 2 years now, and pushing JPSK, they have 4,300 taxi drivers that they didn't help JPSK. None of their staff, including general manager, they're concerned about that. None. They're not concerned about that. They don't want to do anything to bring these people to help JPSK financially and supporting JPSK. So this is, comes back to the policy of KPSK. Either you don't have a policy or you don't go by the policy. You don't go by the policy because you don't have elections. If you don't have elections, it's not a democratic process. Next month is October, and October usually is the month of revolution. Maybe they have to do a revolution. They have to take on KPSK. They have to take on KPSK to do that. You must do that. You bring the occupy, you bring the taxi driver, you bring the truck driver, you bring them in. You occupy KPSK, you push the people that they don't want to do anything in KPSK except their own agenda. And this is very upsetting. I've been saying over and over, besides the small things that they follow the people inside KPSK, they harass them, besides all those things.
It's moot, but I want to clarify something that wasn't made clear before because I'm sure it will come up again. So PNB had a policy on program director searches, and the LSC adopted a resolution in compliance with that policy. Then the PNB amended this policy, which required 2/3 vote, which put the LSC proposal out of compliance, but was still the motion previously adopted. So, depending on whether or not there was a ruling that the previous motion was illegal, that determined what majority you needed in what you were doing here. Because unless you rescinded the previous motion, it required a 2/3 vote to amend the previous motion. Luckily, there was no objection, so the new policy is an amendment and substitute for the motion previously made up.
Thank you, Terry.
Thank you.
Terry, even though it's going to end public comment, do you mind just being on the mic for telling instructions? Okay, are we going to
have to there's two elections because there's two categories, and we have to be able to know who to eliminate if two, you know, yeah. In each category.
Yeah.
So there's going to be a staff category election and a listener category election. And so we should do those one at a time. And the candidates in each category should be identified to you. And then you'll be given ballots. If the ballots have names on them, then you are to put a number associated with each name, ranking your preference in order for the candidates that you want to vote for. If there are no names on the ballot, then you will list them top to bottom in the order of your preference.
All right, Terry, we have I have one set of ballots with all the candidates' names with LSE and staff intermixed.
That won't work.
We have two sets of ballots with no names on them, and you have to write down the names in the order and work from the list.
I have a highlighter. Who would want to highlight across the top of the
list? We need a list up there.
Okay. We have a list on your agenda, too.
I put it right here.
Can I have a list on your agenda?
We'll go one at a time.
I have a suggestion. Why don't you just hand out the list of all the names and we don't have to put them on the board.
Wow.
Hand out all three. We have the names.
Point of order, Madam Chair.
Ms. Bergon had one first.
Sorry. Well, I was going to suggest
passing out the one with all the names, but scratching off the staff candidate that's a much shorter list, and then on the blank ballot,
We
have time to do that while we are voting on the staff. So the staff we can just write in.
Okay.
So while we're writing in these, we can have someone scratch off the other ones.
Okay.
So we have the other ones.
I'll help you.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. There's numbers on the ballot.
Can you
compare
to speed that
list?
Because I can't see
top to bottom.
Yeah,
there,
even the
list of
the.
We're voting on staff.
Madam Chair, may I read the list of staff candidates? That allows.
Please.
Okay, staff candidates are Ankine Antrim, Radhika Argetta, John Kumsho, Steve Pride, and Tej Grable. Those are your staff candidates, ranked in the order that you choose. Remembering that this is STD voting. Thank you.
Can I hear
those
repeated again? I'm
going to
write it down.
Ankine Antrim, Rodrigo Argetta, John Kumsho, Tej Grable, and Steve Pride, alphabetically. Do you want me to collect them?
Can you have Terry collect them for the thing?
Thank you.
Toss them in the hat.
I'm going to need one.
Gotta have a blank sheet of paper.
Here.
Can you bend?
Here,
yeah. Can you bend?